It's Thursday, March 8th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. Show number 748, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a fourth generation hosting account by using promo code CES2. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Here, we got a great show lined up for you. Yes, it's a beautiful afternoon here in sunny Honolulu. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux tautism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of our longtime listeners and viewers from around the world. Those of you that are part of our Ohana, part of our family of listeners, thanks for being here. And of course, we want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Whoops, I'll show you the wrong page. And definitely check out all the great content over there. We want to welcome two of our newest writers. We got two new writers at GNC that we've brought on. And actually, I think a couple of their posts are already up on the website. We've got a second Andrew on the page. And let's see, I'm pulling a brain fart here. And Jen as well. So we want to welcome Jen and Andrew to the to Geek News Central as being our some new writers there, contributing new content. I tell you, you got a big family here at Geek News Central. Of course, we want to make sure you check out all our shows. You want to check out Robot Underpants, Gadget Professor, Saturday Morning Tech, all those you can get subscribed via the second column on the website. Of course, if you don't catch the show live, you can watch the show post-show of either your iPod, your iPhone, your iPad, your Android, your BlackBerry, 160-plus devices, including our channel on Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and Google TV. You'll definitely check that out. Check the Tech Podcast channel out there and find all of the Family Safe shows and, of course, this show as well. As always, you can reach out to the show very easily by contacting me on Twitter at Geek News. That's a great way to reach out and say hello. Of course, email is always great as well, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and our voicemail hotline open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. Great way for you to reach out and comment on the show. And of course, that again is open 24 hours a day for your comments and utilization. Well, I tell you, we've got another day show here. Kind of fun doing a day show, a little odd on prep stuff. I'm actually running a little bit ahead on my typical schedule here. And I've had some good calls this week. We have potentially two new advertisers coming on board, and one specifically for Geek News Central, and then one for our entire team of content creators over at Raw Voice. So been working on proposals for them and getting those out. But otherwise, kind of a nice kickback, semi-relaxed time here for me, which is good. All the immediate stuff is out of the way. But I did want to give you a little bit of an update on the schedule here. I'll do that here in just a second. But I want to take care of a little business before we get too far down the road this afternoon. And I want to remind you that you can pick up a great hosting account over at GoDaddy, their fourth generation hosting, secure cloud hosting that's lightning fast, even during really the biggest traffic spikes. And I tell you, it moved in. We have a 4GH hosting account that we use to move our CES traffic. Now, that was pretty risky by the folks at GoDaddy to do that, simply because the amount of traffic that we were going to move was extraordinary. And they said, hey, we can scale to your needs, don't worry. And of course, the unlimited storage and bandwidth and really the simple one-click setup. And it's been pretty remarkable on what they've been able to deliver for us on that particular product. Of course, you can find all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You'll find a whole host of codes over there. We've got some specials going on, of course, this month of March. You can get a free private registration with a domain purchase or transfer. It's a $9.99 value by using the promo code MARCH4. $7.99.co, first year only. CodeWorks on .coms as well. CoFeb3. Matter of fact, I renewed a bunch of .coms yesterday using ComSale 2. Offer 25% again on the fourth generation of hosting plans by using promo code CES2. And don't forget, we've got everyday offers that are non-expiring. Geek5 will save you 15%. Todd20 will save you 20%. Todd will save you 10%. ComSale will get you .coms at $7.99. ComSale 2 will get you the renewals. Geek Central, Aloha, Geek SSL12, all the codes there for you to use and save money at GoDaddy. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy with all of the details. Well, my schedule is changing, or it hasn't really changed. I'm leaving Sunday night for Silicon Valley. I get in Monday morning, have meetings Monday afternoon, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I fly back here to Honolulu on Thursday. So Monday's show will be from the Valley, and I'll be in basically live streaming and everything from there if bandwidth supports us. So definitely check us out. Probably be about 8:30 Pacific Standard Time on Monday is when we're going to get started on that show, and then of course I'll be back here in Honolulu. Now the Honolulu show, and a week from today will be probably an evening recording because I get back in the afternoon. And so that's kind of how that's going. But other than that, we'll have a Saturday morning tech Saturday morning. So you definitely want to stand by for that. We also have got a roundtable that we need to record. Jeffrey and I are going to get one of those knocked out as well. Another instructional video on basically all types of tips and tricks with new media and working your blogs. So that's kind of what's going on here from a schedule standpoint. Again, talked about a little bit about potential new advertiser coming on board here at GNC. So I'm excited about that. As we're on a march here to show 750, I want you to send me an email on what you like or hate about the show. And again, you can send that via email, geeknews@gmail.com. Put in the subject line 750, one sentence about what you like, one sentence about what you hate. That'll put you in the drawing for our prizes that we're going to give away on show 750. Same thing on the last show. We asked you guys to definitely check out and do reviews and submit a review on the show when you get a chance. And we hope that those of you that have done will drop me an email. Let me know that. And I'll put you in the link. And of course, those of you watching the video, if you're watching now, get your camcorders out. Not your camcorders, your mobile phones. And there's a QR code there for you to click on, and you can use that. I'll leave that up here for just a few minutes for those of you that are on the video side. Okay, I guess, you know, not a lot else going on. Just take care of the last piece of business here, and we'll get right into all the tech content I got today. Of course, got a lot of stuff to talk about. But, you know, being able to attach a face to a name is important. And many times, even in this podcasting space, you know, I'll often meet, watch, or listen to the show, and you'll very well know me, and you'll have, you know, basically developed a relationship because of the show. And oftentimes, I kind of come in a little bit behind the eight ball because when I meet fans of the show, they're often folks that I really don't have a face to attach a name to. And so it's really important, and it enhances our relationships. And really, the way we do business is when we can really see each other. So that's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face from anywhere in the world. And with GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes just a webcam. That's all it really does. It takes a webcam, a computer, and you're set. And it works out great. You can see the attendees eye-to-eye while collaborating on documents in real time. And you're going to feel instantly connected, even if you're 1,000 miles apart. Plus, GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and simple to use. I use it for my meetings here, and I tell you, I live in GoToMeeting essentially, and I really can't tell you how great it is because, well, you guys know how great it is. It's because, I'm, you know, that didn't sound right, did it? Anyway, I can tell you it's fantastic, so definitely check it out, and the video makes it a big difference. So start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. As a listener of the show, you can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait. go over to GoToMeeting.com, and that's, you know, that's the best way to get hooked up here, is go over to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, the orange Try It Free button on the website, and at the same time, when you get to that secondary page, you're going to enter the promo code podcast. That's going to get us a credit for your trial. Definitely check it out. We want to thank you in advance for trying GoToMeeting. I know you're going to love it. Again, GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code podcast. Okay, let me go ahead here and get queued up to start into the regular content today. I've got a stack of stuff for you. It was easy putting the show together. As a matter of fact, I tried to stay away from a lot of the Apple stuff because, you know, well, we'll talk about it when we get to it. I'm going to start off right off the bat talking about the arrests that were made. Of course, the FBI basically has captured some of the primary leaders of the Lulzsec group, hacking group. And it turns out that their so-called leader was snitching on them and sold them all down the river. So I guess when the FBI kicked his doors in and basically said, hey, dude, you're either going to jail for a very long time or you're going to be, you know, you're going to be working on the inside. And apparently that that persuaded him to turn snitch, and he is now probably going to end up getting reduced sentence, and at the same time having all the additional evidence against the folks that reacted. So much for hacker ethics or anything like that. He definitely turned traitor to his group. So there's been all kinds of discussions online about it and so forth. But even his neighbor said he wasn't a very good neighbor at all because he had jammed music a lot. And so there wasn't a lot of love lost between him and his neighbors upstairs, downstairs, and on either side. So it's kind of funny. You can read through some of the stuff that they found. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. You know, in Vegas, they have these things they call whales. And whales are, you know, the folks that spend big, big dollars. And Business Week is reporting that Facebook has its very own whales. It's the group of people that spend a huge amount of money when they're on Facebook. They do gaming and, you know, they do all kinds of stuff to basically give Facebook cash. And essentially, there's just about less than 2%. Let me look at the actual numbers here. They were listing it out. What was the actual percentage? But there was a very small percentage of the users that, here it is. 1.8% of Facebook users create 15% of the company's revenue. So that 1.8% of folks that are Facebook whales are obviously well taken care of. Facebook pays attention to them. You know, and it's kind of funny and that, you know, Facebook can have its own whales. Now, groups like Zynga and those other folks that are, you know, giving Facebook 30% of those folks' expenditures are definitely, you know, it's one of the reasons why they've launched their own websites. They want that 30% back. And so with, you know, folks using PayPal and credit cards, it makes it just real easy for, you know, people to spend a couple micro bucks here or there. And the next thing you know, at the end of the month, you've spent a lot of money. But Facebook is definitely taking care of their whales. There's a good article over on Slashdot, and this is more on the super techie front here. You know, if you look at some of the graphic stuff that's coming about in games and everything else, you know, the graphics are getting pretty realistic and almost too true, almost too good to be true in some instances. But there has been some sentiment in the gaming world that the current generation of gaming consoles are good enough, and the next generation of consoles may be their last. They think, though, that the amount of processing power that's going to be required to match human anatomical peaks, in other words, where you can't distinguish the difference between a CGI developed person and and what you're actually seeing on this camera is going to require about 2,000 times increase in computing power to get it so it looks just like, you know, you're watching this video. They think that the resolution is going to need to be 8K, 8,000 by 4,000 resolutions to really make something truly 100% lifelike. And obviously, we're a long ways from that in the amount of computing teraflops needed. They said that the increase would require 5,000 teraflops in order to get so that when we're viewing something in a game, it doesn't look, you know, like a game anymore. And I guess that's the best way to put it. But very cool study, and I don't know. This gaming stuff has gotten pretty good. It really has. Now, physicists from MIT have also talked about and demonstrated that an LED light emitting diode can emit more optical power than the electrical power it consumes. Now, this is significant here. Researchers suggest that the LED acts like a heat pump, and if it's true that they say that the LEDs have 230% efficient, in other words, they're 230% more efficient than the power going in, that's pretty remarkable. And I don't know. What does that mean in the end run? Time will tell. But it's pretty cool that the LED is essentially emitting more optical power than the electric power it consumes. It doesn't transfer into, you know, no gas mileage. You know, it's not like you're going to pour a gallon of LEDs into your fuel tank and get 500 miles per gallon of LEDs. It doesn't work that way. But time will tell where this takes us. There's a great article over on Insight. Actually, it's not a comment. It's a manifesto. And I'm going to warn you, you're going to need, oh my gosh, maybe 20 minutes at least to go through this thing, maybe more. And it's well over 20,000 characters, the article itself. But it's an open letter to content creators from a gentleman who says, "Why I pirate music, videos, games, etc." And I was reading through this, and I'm going to tell you, this is pretty much an eye opener, and it just goes down through and breaks down cost. It breaks down, you know, everything. And he talks about how he basically pirates books, comics, magazines, movies, everything. And if he did buy all the stuff that he could, what it would actually cost him. But if you go through this, it'll give you some serious insight into the mind of, like, you know, what this article is touting to be the typical person who pirates a lot of content. So I'll let you go through and read that. I'm not even going to try to cover the highlights because it's a massive article, and it's better for you guys to go read. I would say this is probably the read of the day when it comes to all the content that I've got for you. All right. All right. Citibank. Of course, Citibank is, has been in the news of recent years of taking government bailout money, along with a lot of other banks, of course. But Citibank has unveiled a banking app for the Kindle Fire. So those of you that have a Kindle Fire, you're definitely going to want to check out their mobile banking app, which they say has every component, graphic, touch, action, button, and slide bar customized for the device. You can plan the cash outflows, analyze personal spending, compare personal spending habits with general consumer data, get direct access to educational content as well. So it's for free, and it's available for those that have a Kindle Fire. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for that for you to check out. All right. Many folks are heading out to South by Southwest, and of course, a lot of the apps are competing for people's timeshare and using on mobile devices. One of the apps that is being touted as one of the apps to watch is called Echo Echo. And I actually loaded, where's my phone? I guess it's not in here. I loaded one of the apps that they suggested for South by Southwest just to check it out. And when I loaded it, all it did was just said, okay, that's it. We're we're now tracking you. I'm like, oh my God. And it gives me updates when people are nearby. And it's really kind of a weird app. But Echo Echo has got a little bit more of a graphical interface. And the mobile social location space is obviously heating up here. And Echo Echo, which are unveiling their new version at South by Southwest, is one to contend to. So I don't know if it's available online already. I would think it would be. But Echo Echo works on the iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, Windows Phone 7, and even a Symbian phone. Wow. So they are in the iPhone App Store and Android Marketplace. So definitely give it a run for the money. All right. Now, imagine your kids are at school. You know, they do their normal stuff at school. And they come home. And under your supervision, they're on their, you know, on their Facebook page. And apparently, the American Civil Liberties Union sued a Minnewaska, and is that in Minnesota? Minnewaska area school, claiming that they have violated a middle school student's constitutional rights in two separate incidents involving Facebook. In this lawsuit, the ACLU of Minnesota claimed that the school disciplined a 12-year-old after she posted a typical young girl's comment that she hated a school hall monitor who had been mean to her. And according to the lawsuit, school principal Pat Falk said that the comment constituted bullying and the girl was given detention and told to apologize. But, you know, this boils back to she wasn't at school when she did this. She was at home when she posted the comment and did not use a school computer. The girl was disciplined again when she posted another comment, which she cursed because someone reported her. So the ACLU claimed the discipline violated girls' rights for free speech. In the second incident, the ACLU claimed school administration forced the girl to give them login information to her Facebook and email accounts after a boy's mother complained that her son and the girl were using computer to talk about sex. So here we've got the school demanding a username and password. They've sent her to detention for saying something on Facebook about a hall monitor and basically have censored her, gave her detention for saying something that she wasn't supposed to. So what do you guys think about this? Do you think that the schools have a right to basically give someone detention for something they do at home outside of school hours? I would contend potentially that they probably got a pretty good case here. The ACLU does. Now, I don't agree with everything that American Civil Liberties Union does. That's for doggone sure. Because sometimes they're really on this, they are really out there. But, you know, if she did something at school and the principal dealt with her, that's one thing. But, and it's interesting that they required her to give up a Facebook login and password as well. So what do you guys think? Do you think the school is going to stand a chance on this? Do you think the ACL is right? Personally, if my kids come home and put something on Facebook and it's brought to my attention or I review it, I'm going to deal with that internally at home. I can't imagine the school coming back and disciplining and giving my daughter detention. So love to hear guys' feedback on where you think this is at. You can always drop me an email on this at geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Those of you in the chat, hey folks, how you doing? And I'm not watching the chat directly, so I apologize if I miss some of your comments. I look over there from time to time. Okay, over on Dvorak Uncensored, there's a video blogger who's claiming to be able to defeat the naked body search scanners that the TSA has by just reusing creating a side pocket. He says billions of U.S. tax dollars in naked body scanners defeated by using a simple side pocket. And you watch the video, you go, So anyway, definitely check it out. And the TSA has not responded to this. But he figured out a way to cheat the scanner machines. And it's pretty scary to think that, you know, they've spent billions of dollars. And you guys know, when I go to the airport and when they ask me to walk into the scanner, I basically decline and request a personal search, which they do. but I refused to go through those particular scanners. Now, that being said, with the government having spent billions of U.S. tax dollars on those things, for them to not work is pretty ridiculous. And this kid says that, or this young man says that they can be defeated. So I think we'll hear more about this as time goes on. But, of course, the content link will be up in the show notes. Now, you know, Google Earth, it's, you know, it's pretty fantastic. You're able to, you know, we're able to zoom in on places, and essentially wherever Google's been and imaged it, you can view. So the National Parks now has a street view style where trails can go live. And basically what they did is they had some, I don't know if they were the park rangers or outside firm, but they have this ability now where you can walk the trails, walk the trails of the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone Park, to, and you don't have to be there. And they've got it all on these, you know, they basically have had some folks walk through these trails with those cameras on, with a little ball on a jig that basically did all the recording. And it's pretty impressive. I know that the last time we were at the Grand Canyon, we really wanted to do some of the trail hikes, but my kids were too young to be able to do that. And so we've, you know, always vowed to go back. So when I showed my wife this, she's like, oh, that's so cool. So, you know, we were talking about it and how we'd like to go back to the Grand Canyon and walk some of the trails. And but you don't have to do that. You don't have to exert yourself. You don't have to sweat and get dirty. You can, or don't have to rent some donkeys to be your mule packs. All you got to do is check this typical street view out, but within the national park. So I have it up in the show notes for you. All right, we've made a big, we've hit a big number. ComScore is saying that U.S. subscriber count to smartphones has reached 100 million devices. So that's pretty outstanding that we've busted through 100 million Android and iOS combined smartphone users. But if you break it down right now, as of January of 2012, 48.6% of folks had a Android device, 29.5% had an Apple device, 15.2% had a BlackBerry device, 4.4% had a Microsoft Windows phone, and Symbian hit at 1.5%. Now, if you look at the mobile OEMs right now, through the end of January 2012, Samsung had 25.4, LG had 19.7, and this is world, I guess US-wide, Motorola 13.2, Apple 12.8, and RIM 6.6. Somehow, it seems a little low on the Apple side. Everyone I see has an Apple or an Android. I don't see anyone having any old-style phones, but that's what ComScore says. I would contest some of these percentages, but that's their insight on it. All right, do you have an AT&T and iPhone? The iOS 5.1 now puts 4G on your phone. Okay, so does that mean you have 4G when you're connected to AT&T area that has 4G? No, but apparently Apple acquiesced to AT&T, and now when you're on an HSPA Plus network, they're being listed as 4G. Now, we can debate the term being used, because it's really not 4G. You know, you're not getting true 4G speeds. But you're going to have a warm and fuzzy knowing that just another G got added to your screen. So is this a marketing ploy by AT&T or what? But you know, the difference between 4G AT&T and 4G LTE Verizon, big difference. All right, if you got Skype and you're a Mac user, you definitely want to update the Skype has gotten has had a mild refresh. It's added the ability for auto updates. It's got an improved UI and group calls. It allows you to go full screen now. So you've got some ability here to get some more functionality out of Skype if you're a Mac user. One thing I've been thinking about doing is the two Skypeosaur or the Ohanosaurus behind me is getting a little bit long in the tooth. And I've been trying to figure out how to upgrade this. And I would really like to go to Mac Minis on those. But I'm looking at how that configuration would work. And it'd be very expensive to go there. And I think I may just have to stick with a Windows machine until I figure out something else. But the challenge with having a Skype machine that's on a Mac and trying to run it into the show. Now, those of you that have watched the show for a while know that I can bring up when someone's on a Skype call, I can bring them up on the monitor and actually feed the video. So what happens there is that I feed the video from those two Mac machines into the TriCaster, and then TriCaster video out is fed back into the same machines via some video converters. And that way the folks that are on Skype calls with me can see me still, which, you know, makes for a better show experience. But trying to do that with a Mac, I think it's going to require multiple converters. And I was pricing it out as like $1,200 or $1,300 to do a single machine. And originally, I think the entire Skypeosaurus or Ohanosaurus setup was about, I think I had less than $250 into each machine. So I think we'll live with them a little bit longer, but $1,200 versus $250 is a big delta there. All right, let's talk about the Apple TV update that was announced yesterday. We were all really waiting on bated breath to see what Apple would do. And they really disappointed. I think they lost a big opportunity here to open the SDK up to iPhone developers. Oops, let me get the right screen. And we'll do that. They did not announce an SDK update so that developers could develop for the Apple TV. They did not open up the iOS App Store. The only functionality they added was making it, putting some cloud stuff in, which was a minor software update, it looks like, and 1080p from 720p. So for $99, all you're really getting is the difference between 720 and 1080 and just a minor other functionality. And your current Apple TV is going to be able to be upgraded to the new interface. So you're not going to have to worry really about, being left behind on the interface. But it's pretty sad that the Apple TV SDK didn't get released and they didn't make more advanced integration between TV and mobile devices. I really don't understand. I think this is a huge missed opportunity by Apple. And I'm quite frankly scratching my head a little bit about it. Now, the Apple TV software update did bring a new interface and it does look more app UI-esque. I guess is a better word. It has the same type of, menuing system that they do for your mobile device and an iPad. But there's no, you're still limited by what you can do. You got the NBA, NHL, you've got Vimeo, YouTube, Wall Street Journal. There's no HBO. There's no Hulu. You still can access movies of yours in the cloud or on your network, TV shows, music, and so forth. But they really didn't make a big change to it at all. You can send photos from the new iPhoto to the Apple TV. But overall, pretty disappointing update by Apple. And I don't know, maybe they're just setting this up for the next rev. But it really, I almost quit watching the live blogging streams that are going on yesterday during the announcement. Well, of course, with the announcement of the new iPad, and I did order two iPads, ordered one for my wife, one for me. We'll be selling a couple of iPads here. We both will be up on the new iPad. But one thing I am going to be doing is I'm going to be taking a hit of $5 per iPad more in data costs now per month. The new 4G plans and pricing were revealed with AT&T starting out at 250 megs at $14.99, 30, 5 gigs at 50, Verizon doesn't even have a lower plan. They just start right out at 2 gigs at 30, 5 gigs at 50, and 10 gigs per month at 80. Now, the good thing is that your iPad now can be tethered. Now, according to all reports today, the only tethering carrier is going to be Verizon at this point. Now, luckily, because I knew Verizon had a much better 4G LTE network than what AT&T has rolled out, I ordered two Verizon 4G LTE iPads. And I really kind of thought yesterday, well, probably AT&T is, you know, knowing the way they do business, that they're not going to allow the mobile hotspot to work. And at this time, mobile hotspot is not being made available for folks on an AT&T iPad, the new iPad, but it will be available for those of you on Verizon at no additional cost. The wind's blowing like crazy out there. So if you're getting a little, I've got one of the doors open here in the studio. So if you're getting a little audio feedback, I apologize on that. All right, let me take a shot of water here. A couple of good articles up on Geek News Central. Ford has added in its My Ford Touch updates. They've added some features to sync. And now what they're going to be able to do is you're going to have in-car tablet functionality. So what sync is going to do is it's going to allow drivers to hook up their favorite tablet device to the car and access it through voice commands while they're driving. The voice commands make things pretty easy to use. You can access your music. You can access what else? So let me look at the full list of stuff here. The Sync will charge some tablets and e-readers when they're connected through the Sync USB connection. You can receive a text message. The Sync allows drivers to be entertained really without making them distracted drivers. But it works on a bevy of tablets. The Sync is compatible with the original iPad, iPad 2, updated to the new iPad. You've got other devices like the Kindle Fire, HP Touchpad, HD Flyer, Barnes & Noble's Nook Color, and the Sony Tablet S. So, again, we all know that Sync also allows you to make hands-free calls with your, you know, when your phone is hooked up. But anyway, they've added tablet compatibility in my Ford Touch in the vehicle. So I have the link up for that. How many of you are big-time editors of photos? Adobe has announced the official version of Lightroom 4. It's now available. And of course, Lightroom is a popular photo editing tool that is used by amateur and professionals alike. And of course, it's part of Adobe's Photoshop family. It's cheaper and more dedicated version specifically towards working, of course, with digital photos. But anyway, it's available now for $149. And of course, for those of you that have application already, or this software already, you'll be able to get an update at a lower price. So link will be up in the show notes on that. And Alan, one of our writers at Geek News Central, did the write up for the hearing impaired. Excuse me, for the blind, the seeing impaired. Google Hangouts now has been improved with a new extension, a Chrome extension hacked together by a software engineer. Has been made available. The app is called Accessible Hangouts. And what it does is it makes it easier for folks that are blind to get into a Hangout. It has some text-to-speech features. It reads all the text chat messages of a Hangout out loud and does a pretty cool demo available over at GigaOM. But this is cool. This is, you know, this guy saw there was a need and new blind users were having trouble and put this extension together. So I know that we have a few blind folks that are actually and sight impaired as well that listen to the show. And so definitely check out the Accessible Hangout extension for Chrome, okay? All right, YouTube has rolled out its new channel design to everyone. Of course, I've had my channel design, the new channel design, for a while. I really haven't done a lot with it, but as of yesterday, Google has rolled out its new design across the entire network, And basically, they say the new design has resulted in much higher view rates, playback rates, commenting rates. It's been very successful for everyone that has rolled out the new design. So it's really broken down into about five. They got five different templates. They got creator, blogger, network, everything, and a live broadcaster. Of course, the live broadcaster is only available to those that are live broadcast partners. But if you are, you'll be able to get access to that. So anyway, definitely check it out if you've got a YouTube channel, and you know, get your colors set up and get your motif squared away so it looks the way you want it to look. All right, moving on here. The we talked to the folks at Simple.tv at CES, and Simple TV really made a pretty big splash with the announcement of a budget price DVR service. And what was different about this DVR is that it's going to work with Roku and different set-top boxes. And it also works as an HTML5 app on Boxy, Google TV, and other connected TV platforms. So this is pretty cool. They've got some screenshots of it. But the HTML5 app is still a work in progress, so it's, I guess, still beta. But customers are going to get basic recording a capability for free. Simple TV is going to charge $5 a month for advanced, I guess, EPG, whatever that means. And, of course, there's a variety of other companies working on this, but this is kind of a standalone a DVR for content that you're basically watching or trying to record that's coming on live channels on set-top boxes. So pretty smart on their part. Sometimes sometimes the most simple gadgets make a lot of sense. And how many times have you picked up your iPhone or your Android device or your Android phone and just tilted a little bit to look at it? Well, and then you've laid it back down on the counter, right? Well, some folks have come out with what they call the Simple Suction Cup. It's available for $3.50. This thing is like an inexpensive accessory that just makes a lot of sense. You put one part of the suction cup on the table, you put the other part of the suction cup against your phone, and immediately your phone is tilted up where you can see it. Same thing within your car. You can tilt it the way you want it in your vehicle as well. $3.50, very smart gadget. Now, along with that gadget, let me go ahead and bring this right up for those of you watching. There's a stylus now for the iPad 3, and this is pretty cool. There's so much stuff now with the new iPad 3 and having this super high resolution that, you know, doing drawings and different types of things may not work out so well with your finger, but they have a little stylus now. It's going to be made available. It's not for sale yet. It actually talks to your iPad via Bluetooth. And it's pressure sensitive. It works in conjunction with an application that has some features that people might want to know about, want to use in a tablet, and has pretty cool stuff here. And you can rest your palm on the iPad and not have it mess up. So we'll definitely see where this goes. But pressure sensitive stylus for iPad 3, and we'll see where this goes in the coming weeks. All right, the folks over at have said since they have basically switched over to the new way of the new magnet-only style of the site, that their bandwidth bills have been reduced by 30%. You know, they're no longer serving up the actual torrent file. They're actually serving up an RSS feed with data in it that shows you where to go link to get the torrent file. So they're pretty happy with the drop in bandwidth, which makes the Pirate Bay a lot more nimble and not needing as much hardware to run on when it gets forced to be taken down by, actions by the MPAA, RIAA, and so forth, and different government organizations. All right, over on Torrent Freak, there is a battle. It's a brewing. And we knew when Mega Upload was taken down that other file storage sites would start to go next. So it has been said by the MPAA, they've told a court that Hotfile is as bad as Mega Upload. So here's my advice. If you have any files on hotfile.com, you need to get them safe because it's obvious that there is huge movement afoot to go after what these organizations, MPAA, RIAA, and so forth, consider a piracy haven. Now, I'm not saying that they are. I don't agree with what they're saying here, but the MPAA is claiming that more than 90% of the files downloaded from Hotfile are copyright infringing, and nearly every Hotfile user is engaging in copyright infringement. So what does this mean? Does this mean there's going to be an injunction? There's going to be a taking down? They did file a motion for a summary judgment in a U.S. district court in Florida. So they want Hotfile shut down as quickly as possible. We will see where this goes, but it's not a good time to be in the file hosting business when it comes to cloud lockers like this. And not only did the MPAA go after them, Warner Brothers also has going after Hotfile as well. So they've been accused, at least Warner Brothers has been accused, of having content taken down that they did not have copyrights to. So the EFF is arguing that Warner Brothers is stifling online speech by denying Hotfile users access to legitimate content, where the movie studio's claim is that they are not responsible for mistakes made by a computer. So we'll see what happens here. But this case has major implications for responsibility of copyright holders when it comes to these automated takedown requests. So if the court decides that Warner Brothers is not guilty of copyright abuse, there's a serious risk that DMCA notices will turn into a broad and uncontrollable censorship filter. So hopefully the EFF turns out to be successful with this, all right? Well, every once in a while you see a cool photo, and I'm always into finding cool space photos. This photo was taken by Don Petit on the International Space Station, and credit, of course, goes to NASA. But what this is there was, they had a 76-second burn to get the International Space Station into a higher orbit. And he took a series of images, and this is one of them at the very end of the 76-second burn. So you can actually see the rockets engaged. I think it's awesome. I think this is an absolutely outstanding picture. I have the link, of course, up in the show notes for you. This was over at Universe Today is where I found this article. But it's just awesome pictures like that that I always have new stuff to put on my desktop to gaze at when I don't have something going on. Of course, we're also right now in the middle of a major solar storm. The sun had a massive solar flare, I guess, yesterday. And the video of it was pretty impressive. It was a near direct shot right at us. The sun only had to have been a little bit shifted a little bit more to the right to have actually gotten a full blast of this. But this large X5.4 solar flare that erupted on the sun on March 7th is bombarding Earth at this time. So if you've been having cell trouble today, that's probably why. So if you haven't seen the video of it, definitely you want to check it out. Again, this is another article that was over at Universe Today. All right, there's more pictures coming from the moon, and I'm totally jazzed when I see this kind of stuff. And here's probably the most famous landing site of all. So just after 42 years after Neil and Buzz became the first humans to experience the stark beauty of the lunar surface, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter has captured the remnants of their visit in the image that I'm showing on the screen right now. So from an altitude of only 15 miles, the LRO took some pretty amazing pictures here. You can see the LEM. You can see where the guys trekked around on foot. So there's a number of items here. And so it's pretty cool. So you could see that, even though it looks like they went a long ways, the area that they explored was within the infield of a baseball diamond. So it wasn't that big. Now, let me show you the view from the actual landing site. This is the panoramic view of the Apollo 11 site from the Little West Crater. So this shows him looking back at the lamb. And then you see here where the lamb is in this picture, and you can see kind of the angle from where he looked back. So quite a stark difference here, yeah? But very cool stuff. And so the LRO is having all kinds of cool, getting all kinds of cool pictures. I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of this stuff as time goes on. Okay, final space news is capsule and skydivers ready for record-setting freefall. This is a thing that's going on with Red Bull. Red Bull's going to be putting a guy inside a capsule, taking him to 120,000 feet, jettisoning the capsule, and this guy wants to have trying to set a world record for the fastest freefall descent of this type. So this craft that they've got weighs 2,900 pounds. Of course, it's going to be strapped to a weather balloon, probably several weather balloons to get to altitude. But these guys are nuts. And he's going to be in this thing for three hours to get to altitude and then a very short ride down. But they've been working on this thing for 5 years. So I'm sure we'll see a lot more on this soon with the videos of the actual ascent, descent, etc. All right, researchers have captured the first image of an atom moving inside a molecule. Now, that sounds pretty cool. So using an ultra-fast camera, researchers recorded the first real-time image of two atoms vibrating in a molecule. And the team used ultra-fast laser pulses to knock one electron out of its natural orbit in a molecule. The electron then fell back towards the molecule, scattered off it, and it basically kind of caused a flashlight type effect, and that's how they got it. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. And it really is kind of an underwhelming picture, but what scientists do in their spare time, yeah? All right, last few articles here tonight. First one up is talking about Roku. Roku is seeking $50 million round for international expansion. So they're getting ready to go out to the venture fund, venture capitalists, and raise some money. So I hope they get their round of money and are able to expand internationally. This is good stuff. And IBM, moving on here, IBM has drilled holes into an optical chip to obtain terabyte per second speed. So they said, well, you know, we've kind of reached the limits of wires. Let's see what we can do with optics. So they drilled 48 tiny holes into a standard CMOS chip, facilitating the movement of light. And so they're absolutely jazzed here. And they've got photodiodes, and basically they're using light to transfer data within or across the chip. So pretty exciting stuff. That's telling you something when we're needing the speed of light to move data around on a chip. IT staff can now manage iPads, iPhones, and iPod touches with a configurator tool. So if you're part of an organization that has a large number of iPhones, now your IT administrators, the word I like to use, of course, is IT Nazis, but I know that offends some of you guys, but the IT administrators now can configure what is on your phone, what libraries are available, what apps are available. They can turn off iTunes, add Keynote. They can remove stuff. So total control of your iPhone is coming to your IT staff, folks. So good luck with that one. Clearwire is selling its first post-CYMAX dongle. And this is probably one of the most unsexy gadgets I've ever seen. But it's the $50 ClearStick Atlas is their newest stick available. It's WiMAX only. So if you're not in a clear wire market, it's of little use. But I'm finding, I tell you, I travel with my clear wire modem whenever I go. Up in D.C., I had good clear wire access. Of course, in Texas, I'm often in. So it's hit and miss in different places. Okay, Amazon is adding new EC2 instance. This is exciting because we're big EC2 fans. So you can get 64 bit instances and some smaller core sizes or smaller instance sizes. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out for those of you that are playing with EC2. And the final article tonight, if you have an Archos G9, ice cream sandwich update is rolled out for that and is available. Or I do have some email today, and I have a response to one of the emails that was sent in last show. And let me go ahead and load this up. I want to thank the folks that sent in stuff for their for show 750. But here is a response by Steve. He said, "Hey, Todd, I listen to every one of your shows. You supported GoDaddy even after they revealed to support Sovan Pipa. It wasn't until they were losing business that they switched the position. My point respectfully is that you shouldn't infer wrongfulness when ICANN might have turned a blind eye for money when you did the same. I have no problem with you making money. I like to make money too and I wish you nothing but the best. I just think you shouldn't go down the finger pointing road when some finger pointing can be done for you at the same thing." You know, I still disagree based upon me being very vocal in calling out GoDaddy when they came out initially and were supporting Sopan, right? So it wasn't like I was agreeing with them. You guys know that. So, but you know, Steve, thanks for your comments. I appreciate your feedback. I think at this point, maybe we'll agree to disagree on this one. And I understand your point, but I think at this point, I think I'll agree to disagree. What else have we got here? I think that's it. I think we only had one actual comment email come in, unusual. But as always, we want you guys to comment on the show. Geeknews@gmail.com is the address. @geeknews is my Twitter account. Of course, you can call the voicemail hotline, available at 619-342-7365. I hope you enjoyed the show here, and it's been my pleasure bringing it to you here on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in Honolulu. We got done with all of the 4 days of torrential rains. I actually was loving it because we needed water so bad. A lot of people were complaining about it, but when you need rain, you need rain. And we definitely needed it, and we actually need a little more. We're way behind this year. But again, the next show will be Saturday Morning Tech here. Probably, I think we're going to do early one because I've got a basketball game to go with to my son. So we'll probably do Saturday Morning Tech here starting at 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. Eastern time. And we'll get that knocked out. And then, of course, then I'll be in Silicon Valley for the next live Geek News Central. And hope you look forward to that show. And we'll, again, probably get started around 8 o'clock Pacific time if bandwidth supports me from some dingy hotel room in Silicon Valley. Until then, everyone, take care. It's been my pleasure to bring you a show. Thanks for hanging out with me here. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. And, of course, make sure you take some time and check out our great team at Geek News Central putting together lots of great content for you. And they're really doing a great job. And there's a great one here on Netflix. And, of course, Langley's got a recent video podcast up as well, which is surprising. And then we have some stuff on the Apple stuff that was going on yesterday. But definitely check us out at GNC. Until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you. And aloha.